We'll move on to Afzal versus Mukasey. Mr. Kola.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Counsel. The issue with regard to this matter is, one issue is, does this Court even have jurisdiction to hear this matter? In the sense that this involved a discretionary decision of the immigration judge in denying a continuance.
And it's actually a discretionary decision about a discretionary decision.
Correct.
That's actually the problem that I have, because at the end of the day, the most that you could get would be the hope that the Department of Homeland Security would exercise its discretion favorably for this exception, essentially, to the rule about relative visas.
Correct. That is true. It is a discretion.
Humanitarian exception.
It is a discretion of the Department of Homeland Security to grant it or not grant it. But in this case,
why is not our jurisdiction? Why doesn't that take this well out of cases like Subban and CETA and put it over in on the Kusana Ali side of the equation?
Well, in Subban, it was also a discretionary decision on the Department of Labor whether or not they would approve it or not approve it. So there was a discretion to be made by the Department of Labor. We will approve this labor certification or we will not approve it. So there was a discretion there. There's a discretion here.
I think there are different kinds of determinations, though. The work visas operate under a particular set of rules, whereas you're really throwing yourself on the mercy of the department for these humanitarian rulings.
Even in the situation of a marriage situation where a person is waiting for an I-130 married to a U.S. citizen, the Immigration Service has the right to use their discretion and say, I don't believe this is a bona fide marriage and I can deny the visa petition. So all the decisions made by the Department of Homeland Security or USCIS, in essence, turn out to be discretionary decisions.
Well, a lot of them do, and I think you can see from our cases in recent months that we're dismissing a lot of them on jurisdictional grounds, and I'm not sure how you can get over that problem here.
Well, my argument would be, this: in this particular case, the judge did not give a valid reason on why he was denying the continuance.
He said it was 3 years since the wife, unfortunately, and it's a shame that she died, but it had been 3 years, and on top of that, the government argues that you haven't suggested any reason why he might be a candidate for a humanitarian visa.
You know, with regard to the immigration judge specifically said at that particular time this person was not eligible to adjust status. And we're not disputing that. On that particular date, he was not eligible to adjust status, as was Subban, as was Setan, as was Bessonette.
Well, I have the same question Judge Wood did, that in all this period, I mean, she died several years ago, he seems never to have indicated what factors might persuade the Department of or the board to let him stay.
But, you know, those are two different avenues. The factors that would affect discretion in reinstating the revoked petition would be the Department of Homeland Security, USCIS. They would be the ones who would hear those factors. The immigration judge, in all honesty.
Yes, I know. But if you're asking for a continuance and it's an uphill fight, I would think you'd want to give the immigration judge some reason to think that you had a good case with the department for.
Correct, but we never even got to that issue with the immigration judge, because the immigration judge, we never even got to the issue of.
But you asked for a continuance. You could certainly give reasons beyond just that you're pursuing something, some avenue of relief in the Department of Homeland Security. You could say, we're pursuing this, and you know we have good grounds, so we're not. It's not just a delay game, which obviously the immigration judges are concerned about.
But in this particular case, the judge focused on the fact that on that particular day he
wasn't. Well, of course he focused on it, because you didn't give many reasons why he might think that he should grant a continuance in order to allow you to pursue your DHS remedy.
But we never got to that stage. The stage was.
I understand what you say. Didn't get.
I understand
you
the question.
You asked for a continuance, didn't you?
I asked for a continuance, correct.
You can say anything you want as a ground for a continuance, can't you?
Well,
so why not try to make it as persuasive as possible?
Grounds for the continuance is that we were seeking a reinstatement.
Right, so why don't you say that you're not only seeking it, but you have a good chance of getting it because of the following factors. That would make a much more persuasive petition for continuance.
I would agree, maybe in retrospect, that approach should have been taken. But at the moment that...
But you're still... I mean, you've never done it. It's been years now. You've never given us or anybody any reason to think this is anything but just delay.
Your Honor, at this point, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to present that argument in front of this court with regard to what the sympathetic reasons are for reinstatement. The issue before us today is, do we have jurisdiction, and did the judge abuse the discretion? My position is we never got to that point. Now, maybe if I would have gone back in time and say, listen, Judge, these are the valid reasons why, but we were stopped even getting to that point by the immigration judge.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Dupre?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Tom Dupre on behalf of the United States. I think Judge Wood had it exactly right when Your Honor noted that this is indeed a case where you have discretion piled upon discretion. Certainly, Subban, in this case's decision, this Court's decision in Bensalman, which applied Subban, involved situations where you had pending visa petitions. This case presents an entirely different scenario in which you have a petitioner who has requested discretionary relief, both in the form of the continuance, but also the ultimate discretionary relief granted by DHS. So I think that those facts do put this case well outside the confines of this Court's decision in Subban. And I think it would be a very significant and indeed unwarranted extension of Subban were it to apply to this situation. Even if this Court were to find that it has jurisdiction over the petitioner's challenge, as Judge Posner correctly noted, the petitioner never gave the immigration judge any reason to think that he would be likely to obtain discretionary relief from the Department of Homeland Security.
Is there any reason to think the immigration judge prematurely shut off that discussion, or there was any reason that Mr. Afzal could not have explained, you know, I'm caring for, you know, my ill mother-in-law or some...
There's no reason whatsoever from the transcript, Judge Wood. Certainly, the petitioner could have, but chose not to, submit to the immigration judge whatever written documents he may have filed with DHS. He could have, but chose not to, make an oral presentation as to why his request for discretionary relief would be likely to get granted. And even if he did not have the opportunity to make those arguments before the immigration judge, which he plainly did. But even if he didn't, he could have raised it before the Board of Immigration Appeals and said to the Board of Immigration Appeals, I was improperly cut off from presenting my full case. Here is what I would have said if I had had the opportunity. But at this point, the petitioner has been before three separate tribunals, the Immigration Court, the Board of Immigration Appeals, and this Court, and at no stage in the process has he ever articulated a single reason why the Department of Homeland Security would be inclined to exercise its considerable discretion in his favor. So I think even if this Court were to conclude that it had jurisdiction, I think the immigration judge and the board's decisions were well within their discretion, and for that reason, too, the petition for review should be denied.
How often does USCIS grant these humanitarian appeals?
I don't have any numbers on that, Judge Wood, just anecdotally.
I mean, I'm just wondering, is it a 1 in 100 chance, or do they do it half the time? Or
I can't speak with any firm knowledge on that, Judge Wood. Anecdotally, my understanding is it doesn't happen terribly often. Of course, there may not be that larger universe of cases in which this precise scenario arises, so it's hard to draw
any... Well, this particular one, but I gather the mechanism is available for a lot of different people.
That's
it
right.
It can't just be people whose spouse prematurely dies.
That's right, Your Honor. Yeah. That's right, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dupre.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Cole. Move on to our next case, United States...